Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our worship here at Faith is Good. Did you could all be with us? And welcome to 2019. What an exciting year that we've got in store, and I hope that everybody had a blessed time for the holidays as we get moving in here to this day of the Epiphany of our Lord. One of the things we're going to be doing here through the month of January, we're going to kick it off this morning. We've had a couple of schools that have come to us to ask us for another Shoes for the Souls. We probably weren't necessarily ready to go into a full-fledged one again, because, boy, that last one we did was just huge. But if a couple schools are going to come and ask us, they're totally out of shoes. Let's see what we can do here through the month of January to help them out. So even if this isn't going to be as big as some of the other ones have been, let's challenge ourselves again through the month of January, and we'll do the same thing we always do. As we get shoes, we'll start putting them in along the sides here. But through the entire month, all the Sundays of January, Shoes for the Souls on behalf of a couple of the schools here that our people are associated with here in Pasco County. So Pastor Steinke, also he has started a Bible study here that's going to be in the sanctuary here on these Sundays. And we hope that you were able to join us for that this morning. And it's just, Who Am I? That's from Luther Hour Ministries, Men's Ministry, Bible Study. Some really good stuff that comes from them. One of the most important things I want to make sure that you folks are gathered here this morning begin to see is that as soon as we're done with worship, we're going to be taking everything down, the greens, the Advent wreaths, whatever else. The quicker what we do this, the quicker it's going to get done. We already have food ordered. It will be here in a good time as we get things taken down. But give us just a bit of a hand here. As stuff goes down a lot quicker than it goes up. And so you give us a hand and join us for lunch and a time of fellowship here, and everybody can be on their way, probably in very short order today. So then also, on Wednesday nights beginning this week, our Crosswalks worship returns. Now, that is that worship service that's on behalf of people that haven't been to church in a long time, maybe have never been to church, and maybe that doesn't describe you because you're with us here this morning and most every Sunday, but you know somebody in your life that it does describe, and those are the types of people that, and if you'd like to bring them just so that they can feel comfortable. On Wednesday nights, the worship is in a conference room from here all the way to the back where the drinking fountain is, and take a right. A lot of you by now have been in the conference room. We have it set up special just for that special worship service. We will be doing that every Wednesday night in the months of January and February until Lent rolls around. Lent starts kind of late this year, not until March, but you know that's fine. It'll give us a couple of months we can do that. So we hope you'll join us for those things. Then just do remember, next week, I'll let you know about this because as late church folks, next weekend is fellowship weekend. And so we'd like you to come a little bit early for the time of fellowship. It is being hosted by the ushers. And so they're going to be helping us with that. But you know, you folks here, if you just come a few minutes before worship, you might miss out on that, and we certainly would like to have you be a part of that also as we do that next week. So please let us know that you were here with those Faith Fellowship cards that are in the racks in front of you. And for both our members and our guests, and we thank you for being a part of today's service. We begin by calling to mind our baptisms in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father together. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins as a called and ordained servant of Christ. And by his authority, I therefore declare to you that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray this prayer together. O God, by the leading of a star, you made known your only begotten Son to the Gentiles. Lead us who know you by faith to enjoy in heaven the fullness of your divine presence. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The lessons from Holy Scripture are appointed for the Epiphany of our Lord. The Old Testament comes from the 60th chapter of Isaiah. Nations shall come to the light of the Lord. It is written, Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around, and see, they all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant, your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you, the wealth of the nation shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, all those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson comes from the third chapter of Ephesians. Hidden for ages, the mystery of the gospel is now revealed. St. Paul writes, For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Friends, on this day of Epiphany, in Jesus Christ, we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. And may that boldness and confidence carry with us as we declare just also the light of Christ has done for us. You may be seated. Friends, as I look over the people here, I realize that growing up, some of you may not have taken many really long car trips. I certainly did, and I know that nowadays it seems like just about everybody does. But when you were a child and the opportunity came for you to take a long trip, well, if you were like most, it didn't take long and you're in the car and all of a sudden here comes, "Are we there yet?" Right? One of the last times I heard that, I was actually with a bus full of, and these guys were teenagers. I think they were just playing, but we were on our way to the National Youth Gathering in Orlando about 15 years ago, and yes, I understand that National Youth Gathering in Orlando, big deal. But it was when we were in Illinois, and I don't think we were 5 minutes out of the church parking lot, we started hearing that. We had a teacher on board, and she just, "Five more minutes." And all the way down to Orlando, we heard it again and again and again, "Five more minutes." There were as many 5 minutes as I think I've ever seen in my life. But you got to understand, when we were young, and even perhaps as teenagers there, it wasn't even just that everybody was getting a little antsy. It was because at the end of the destination, there was something really, really special. More than likely, something that you'd never experienced before, something you'd never seen before. You know, when you take car trips, I remember as a young person, we took trips. It was about 300 miles up to Minneapolis. It was about 900 miles down to Alabama. And every mile, you would start seeing things that, hey, you've never seen these before. You know, we could probably have given an hour-by-hour summary of the things that we had seen that we had never seen previously, and those would be the types of things that could keep you engaged. But once we got there, whatever it was that brought us down, you came to realize that you don't just take that number of miles for any reason. You're there to do something special and something certain. I am yet to see, especially my own parents, they were certainly never the type that were going to get into the car and say, "Well, where are we going?" "Well, I don't know." And look, if they ever did that, we might be going just driving around maybe 10 miles, but not for hundreds and hundreds of miles. So as we go to the story of the Epiphany, it would seem as though everything is 180 degrees out of whack. We do know that some time had elapsed from the time of Christmas, that the time of the shepherds had long come and gone. Mary and Joseph were in a house now. Everything regarding the census was probably long over, and Bethlehem had resumed just whatever it was as a tiny town. And Mary and Joseph now were residents of that community, living in a house, Joseph probably setting up a carpentry business, and this was now their home, or at least they thought it was. But there was something missing. Somehow, whatever it was that all those people had heard, as the shepherds told abroad the saying that was told them concerning that child, whoever they told, wherever those people went, apparently the word, it either didn't get far or it didn't do much. Because here come these wise men. And this was just episode number one where there should have been someone somewhere that said, you know what? So that's what we heard. We heard that something had happened in Bethlehem. And now you guys are proof. No, we didn't. We didn't hear that this morning. That does not seem to have been what happened. The way it should have worked was that there was a certainty amongst the people in Jerusalem about what was about to take place. Oh, okay. Now you wise men, you did get the town wrong. You need to go a few miles further down the road because who you are looking for is in Bethlehem, because that was what was foretold. But boy, it's just amazing. You guys are right on. And it should have been the wise men that were, well, we saw something. We think it has something to do with a coming Messiah. We knew that this was probably something that was kind of important, and we wanted to check things out just to see if we're on the right track. You didn't hear that from them. They came into Jerusalem with an absolute certainty. We saw a star. That one who is born, King of the Jews, we saw it, and we've come to worship him. Where is he? Well, the fact that the person that took the most interest in what they said was a threatened king. A threatened king who felt like somebody was trying to muscle in on his territory and he was going to have none of it. He took extra time with the wise men. But he was smart enough to realize, no, I might want to be devious with these guys, but I don't want to fiddle around with them too much. They're foreigners, and I don't want to make enemies of them. So I'll tell you what, you guys go search diligently for the child. When you find him, bring word back to me so I can do the same thing. Whatever this star was, and there had been different theories that have been presented what it might have been. One thing we know for sure is that there had to be at least some level of the Lord God doing what would not have otherwise have been possible. Whatever might explain the star that they saw could not explain how it was that the star just happened to make its way right over and lead them to the house that they were going to. But God has a way. God has a way of directing his people where he wants them to go. And not just in terms of where they go, some of the decisions in life that they make, but how it's going to affect their hearts. Because you heard them. We have come not just to check things out, we have come to worship him. And when they finally found him, what did they do? They fell down and they worshiped him. We gather together, not just on Epiphany Sunday, but every Sunday, to gather together, to fall down, just humbled at what our Savior has done for each of us. Just almost aghast that a God would care so much about us
that he would do for us what he has done, not only in our lives for now, but to prepare us for life everlasting. That requires a response. And then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts. And who could have known that hours later, in an emergency trip to Egypt, now suddenly, Mary and Joseph had whatever it is that they needed so that they could not only make the trip, but if they had to stay away for a while, they could. God providing for his people for both body and soul. But still, one has to wonder. Even today, we still ask the question, what is missing? What are people not seeing that people 2,000 years ago didn't see? Oh, back then, you would have hoped that there would have been somebody. At some point along all the stories of Jesus, you would have hoped that there was going to be somebody that said, this is what we've been waiting for. And maybe it wouldn't have been appropriate to break into an applause at the side of the cross. But couldn't somebody have noticed this is what the Messiah was all about? This is what Jesus came into this world for? Wasn't there anybody from the beginning of the birth of Jesus right up until the time he ascended into heaven that was prepared to say, you bet. This is what the scriptures finally said. Today we have the benefit of 20/20 hindsight. We've seen all that. We know all that. We've learned all that. But is our reaction any different? Have we gone about to proclaim boldly to people, guess what? I'm going to worship my Lord and Savior because of what he has done for me. I am going to go give him my best because he's already given me his best and he's not going to stop. There's more of his best that is to come. And no matter what he gives me in this life, the best that he has to give me is yet to come, and I can't wait. It's a real joy to know what our Savior has done for us. Because whether we know how to ask for directions or not, whether we understand how long it's going to be, God does have a plan. The trouble, of course, is that plan must live in this world. A world where a king can declare that all baby boys 2 years and younger in the area around Bethlehem be needlessly butchered. A time when young children who are on their way to what they thought was a holiday instead have found now an eternal holiday where the Lord God has given to them the ultimate blessing. But in a most tragic way, just a couple of days ago. We don't know what God has in store. Between New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, I don't know the different things that some of you follow, but just on those 2 days, we lost several people that one way or another you might know from, you know, some of the things that go on in life, just in those 2 days. And whatever it is that the Lord may be preparing, as he has us go to return to our heavenly home, maybe not in a way that we had planned on, but on a way that is going to be sure and certain, our Lord prepares for us even now. And what he has given to us is so wonderful, so amazing, we can't help. But whatever we have to do, wherever we have to go, whoever we have to say it to, we're going to fall down and worship. We're going to give him
the best of our best, knowing he's going to give us something even better. And we also are going to look up to heaven and say, well, Lord, are we there yet? Friends, a heavenly 5 minutes is waiting. However long in this life that may be, no matter how many times we're going to hear it, we know that at the end of our journey, there is waiting something special. The most precious thing that this Lord, him who was born King of the Jews for all people, has prepared for you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time now, let's confess our Christian faith through the words of the Nicene Creed. It's on the inside back cover of the hymnal, or you may follow along on the screen. Please stand. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We receive our offerings. You may be seated. Please note the special prayer response, especially on your behalf, as we lift up our hearts to the Lord God on behalf of all people according to their needs. Gracious God and Father, you have called the nations to your light and kings to your dawning brightness. In Jesus Christ, your Son, you have given the light of your truth and salvation to this dark world so that all people may have life through his name. We cannot thank you and praise you enough for your limitless love and your overwhelming goodness, but we come before you in worship and praise for all you have done. Let us pray to the Lord. Indeed, Lord, bless your whole church everywhere, gathered by that light that gathers together every race, language, and culture. Inspire your church to remember and carry out the command to go into all the world to proclaim the gospel to all nations. Bless all of your believing children, especially in this congregation, so that they may be a clear light in the world, fruitful in all good works, playing their part as members of the body of Christ. Let us pray to the Lord. Give your grace to all who gather for worship, for all who are humbled to respond to that worship in gifts of generosity. Let us return to our daily life to show then your salvation in all that we do and say at home, at work, and in play. Send us out as those who seek to do your will in all things, who want to show forth your love in all circumstances, because we have been blessed by Jesus, the light of the world, and have seen those blessings in our lives again and again. Let us pray to the Lord. Bring the strength of your light and love to all who are burdened with sadness, sorrow, the darkness in life. Give grace that they may cast their cares on you in the sure knowledge of your loving care, that they may find joy in all of the things that you have placed into their life. We pray on behalf of a gentleman named Karan Patel, on behalf of the tragedy that took place north of Gainesville this past week and their families, On behalf of everybody that is going through troubles of body, soul, heart, and mind, and now on behalf of someone in our own life, that we lift up now before you in a moment of silence. Be present with your divine comfort and strength. Remind us always that in the midst of the sorrows, we do indeed find blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might, which is to our God, through the light of the love of Christ, who shines that light on us and who has taught us to pray his prayer, which we now pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our liturgy concludes on page 9 with a special prayer that's also on the screen that we now pray together. We give thanks to you, dear Father in heaven, that you continue to guide people of every nation to the one who is the light of the world. Grant that we who have seen this light may reflect his glory in all we say and do, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord into your hearts and into your homes. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Well, for those of you that are going to be sticking around, I mean, if you want to stay here in the sanctuary, you will. Again, we've got some lunch that's on the way for those that are going to help. And for all the rest of you, may God bless you here. And for all of us, a blessing throughout 2019. Go in peace and serve the Lord.